Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns over the air and online at koacountry1077.com and at lava1053.com. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here every Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava, 105.3 FM. Today, we are in part three of our three-part series on animal welfare on this island. My guest today will first of all be Dean Cox with Columbia Humane Society in St. Helen, Oregon, which receives animals from Hawaii Island Humane Society via Big Island Dog Rescue. My second guest is David Lytle with the Oregon Humane Society in Portland. They do not get animals from Hawaii Island, but they do get animals from Maui. And both Dean and David will give us a picture of how the state of Oregon has completely transformed in the last 20 years from a place that was more like Hawaii Island, euthanizing, in their case, 60% of the animals they took in. We euthanize about 75% of the animals that come in, and how they've moved that euthanasia rate down to about 13% statewide, although these two particular shelters euthanize far fewer animals than that and bring a lot of animals back to health. We're going to start with Dean Cox of Columbia Humane Society. And now I am on the phone with Dean Cox. Dean is the executive director of the Columbia Humane Society. Aloha, Dean.
Hello, Sherry.
Thank you so much for talking to me, and I'm particularly grateful because your name, not you, well, actually you personally, your name has come up, but also Columbia Humane Society. So I thought it would be really important in view of all these interviews to find out more about Columbia Humane Society, and perhaps we could start there. Tell us about Columbia Humane Society.
Well, Columbia Humane Society was formed originally in 1985 by one of our local veterinarians, Dr. David Middle. From 1985 to 93, it was kind of nomadic. It went from location to location. It had such prestigious housings as it was actually in a llama barn at one point in time. In 1993, another local couple, Georgie and Phil Holshimer, came forward with a sizable donation to build a permanent facility. And they built the permanent facility. It opened in 93 on county property, and we've been here ever since. In 93 in Oregon, there were truthfully only two no-kill shelters in the state. These days, we truly are in the transport business, and that's what we do. There's such a demand here for adoptable animals and really no tenable supply. So we bring hundreds of animals from other areas like Southern California to here and find them homes.
Where exactly is Columbia Humane Society?
We're about 40 minutes north and west of Portland.
For Columbia Humane Society, do you also do animal control for your area? You mentioned you're on county property.
No, animal control is separate. That's ran out of the sheriff's department. But we do house the animal control animals. So if any animals come through animal control, whether they were, you know, a court case, seizures, they're housed here until the disposition becomes that we can put them up for adoption. Certainly, in some of those cases, those animals are suffering or unable to be placed because of behavior issues, like they, you know, the court decides that they're a potentially dangerous animal. Last year, the total number of animals that animal control put down was 13.
How many animals do you, Columbia Humane Society, take in every year?
Last year, it was just about 1,100. This year, we're close to 900 with, you know, our biggest quarter coming.
Wow, and this is only August.
Right. So we've realigned our target to 1,500. Last year was equal to any 2 years of our organization's history.
What amazes me is you say there's a demand for animal adoptions there, and clearly you know the reason why we're having this discussion is that here in Hawaii County, our Humane Society is euthanizing many animals because they say homes cannot be found for them. Why are there so many people looking for animals? What's your situation there?
You know, jokingly, I say everybody listen to Bob Barker. You know, when Bob Barker closed The Price is Right every day and said spay or neuter your pets, they did. I don't know why they listened here and not in other places. The whole transport situation is nothing new. It's been going on for several years across the country. Just to point out, though, the 58 reporting shelters last year reported that nearly 9,000 animals were transported into Oregon. That's Oregon, We've got a population of about, I think it's about 3 million people. Washington's much larger. They're doing the same thing. And then Idaho's probably smaller than us, but they're doing the same thing, too. So the entire Pacific Northwest is bringing animals in on transports every week.
One of the concerns expressed by Hawaii Island Humane Society is what the humane societies in Oregon or other places would do. So my first question is, has Hawaii Island Humane Society ever spoken with you about how you handle the animals who come in and what you do with them?
No. The only conversations I've had at all, none have been in person or over the phone. I think there's a total now of like 3 emails that passed between Donna Whitaker and myself when I asked very direct questions. And no one's conversed with me at all.
I understand there's a national model called the Asilomar model that humane societies use. When they come in, you classify them as immediately adoptable or treatable, which means with some care of some kind, they should be able to be made adoptable or untreatable, unadoptable. Of the animals you get, roughly 1,500 perhaps this year, 1,100 last year, how many of those are adoptable, how many are treatable, and how many cannot be adopted out?
The vast majority fit the first two categories. You know, even now this year, we've only euthanized 14 animals. Going into the fourth quarter, that's us and animal control combined for the entire county. Some of those were suffering medical cases, but probably the larger percentage of them were potentially dangerous dogs.
How do you have enough space to keep the animals if they are not ready to be adopted out? Tell us what you do and how you handle animals when they come in. How do you find new homes? How do you make sure the new homes are going to be okay?
There is a Google Ad Grants program that's available to nonprofits. We use what I call Google Bucks. It costs us nothing. For example, you might Google Irish Wolfhound Oregon, and the first thing you see are the ads. So up the top, it'll say, Columbia Humane Society. Here's our website. Look for an adoptable dog today. That's really what's generating all the activity here. We have adopters as far away as Seattle, which is about 160 miles to the north, and Medford, which is 300 miles to the south. So we're adopting in a radius of about 450 miles, and this Google Ad Grants program is doing it. So it's something that any nonprofit can get. It runs in perpetuity, meaning as long as you use your Google Bucks, it keeps going. In Google dollars, we do about $330 a day, $10,000 a month, and $120,000. So that's what another organization would pay for to have that ad. And Google just gives it to nonprofits for free.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It's amazing. It's changed the game here completely. Literally, we wouldn't be able to get enough people in the door to do what we did last year or what we're doing this year. But the neat part about it is all you have to do is go apply for it and they'll give it to you. As far as I know, Oregon Humane uses it too. So that's the first part of your question, and I got too windy there and forgot the other parts.
How do you make sure the animals you adopt out are going to a good home? And I ask this because Hawaii Island Humane Society expressed concern that in sending animals to other states, Oregon is the one that's being sent to now, that you were perhaps not sending the animals to good homes. And how do you make sure that's not what's happening?
It's kind of taken on face value. There isn't an early warning system. There isn't a database that we can tie into. There's nothing that we can do on a county, state, or regional level that will tell us if someone's in a pit bull fighting ring or they're working for a research company. But if there was any sign or signal at all that we didn't believe what was this person was telling us on the application or when they sit down with us and we discuss the pet with them, if it just didn't seem right, we won't do it. In 15 years, I have one employee, my operations manager, has been here 15 years. I've been here 3. She tells me this happened one time. One time she adopted a dog to a guy who she thought was just an amazing human being, wonderfully perfect, and then another county animal control called us and told us the dog had been picked up as part of a fighting ring. That happened one time that we know of.
You now are getting animals from other humane societies, and you have received, through Big Island Dog Rescue, animals from Hawaii County. When I did the interview with Hawaii Island Humane Society, I was told by somebody involved with the Humane Society that you will only take cute little adoptable puppies, and the Humane Society folks said, well, we can adopt those out too. But tell us about the animals you're getting from Hawaii Island Humane Society. Are you easily able to adopt them out? Are they fitting the criteria of animals that other people want?
They're amazing dogs. The average Hawaii Island dog is staying, once it gets to the adoption floor, about 7 days. And the average age can't be measured in weeks. It would have to be measured in years. I did actually go through that data because I heard that there was some mention about that, and it wasn't what I was seeing. I can think of four puppies, and I could be wrong about that. I can think of four puppies off the top of my head, and the average age in years is getting close to 4 years old. We've had 12-year-old dogs, dogs that were reported to be 6 years old that were actually much older than that. One dog that I'll always remember, Bernard, he came to us with about two good teeth in his head. All the rest of them were diseased. I don't know if he ate rocks the whole time he was on the Big Island or what he did. We spent a good deal of money to get his dental work through help with some friends of ours at the Pixie Project, and then 24 hours after that, he went home. Another dog named Cooper, who was 12 years old, who was a fan favorite over there. I watched him on Facebook for weeks. He came here. He was adopted in about 10 days. There literally doesn't seem to be an age barrier here. We have people who select for the older, more mature pet because they don't want a puppy. They don't want to go through all the, I don't want a puppy. I'll get a dog that I know a lot more about health and behavior-wise and make that a member of my family. So the allegation that all we take is puppies is just, it's ludicrous.
What is the annual budget of Columbia Humane Society?
Oh, it's fabulous. Our adjusted budget this year was $445,000. We get $750 a month from Columbia County for doing what I mentioned before, which is housing the stray animals before they go to adoption. We've got 8 employees, and the building covers a little bit less than 5,000 square feet on 2 acres. It's nobody's idea of a Taj Mahal, that's for sure. But it works.
How do you raise the funds?
Well, except for the $750 that we know we're getting every month, everything else is donations, fees, adoption fees. We are able to collect the impound. The impound fee is $35, and the boarding fees of $15 a day until the strays are picked up, although in many cases we waive that, especially if they come right away. We do have one fundraiser that we do every February. It's growing and doing better. We do some direct mail campaigns. We're doing one right now. It's called the No Event Event. If you give us money, you don't have to come to our thing. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek. So instead of buying a dress, just give us the money. People responded to it really well. And that is it, a scattering of appearing in front of the public at different events and things. We adopt through PetSmart over by the airport at Cascade Station. We've got one coming up 2 weeks from now. And Debbie from CARES is actually coming over to help us with it. So we're pretty excited.
How much do you charge people when they adopt an animal from the Columbia Humane Society?
Cats are $90, kittens are $110, dogs under 6 months are $250, and dogs over 7 months are $165. And the average spay-neuter fee, because we don't have our own clinic or our own veterinarians, is $185. So every pet that we have that leaves is spayed or neutered. So we don't make money adopting animals, that's for sure.
Do you pay Big Island Dog Rescue or CARES for sending you dogs?
No, absolutely don't. As a matter of fact, we have costs on our side of it as far as, you know, we could receive a dog like Bernard from HIHS and have to round up some money to get him adoptable. The transportation to and from the airport, all that comes out of our pocket on our side.
Dean Cox, I understand you met Tossi Autelli through his father-in-law, Thad Smith, who has been, in the past, a good donor for Columbia Humane Society.
Tossi I met, really he helped us at one of our events that Thad had helped us obtain. I had met him 2 other times, and then the next thing I knew, and I think it was February, I got a phone call from him, and he said, "Hey, look, I want to do something like this. What can we do?" And I said, "Let's walk before we can run. Let's figure out what the problems are with the system. Let's get it worked out, and let's see where we go." And in 90 days, about, we had received about 100 animals, and then, of course, the moratorium came and shut everything down. You know, it was pretty concerning that anybody with their euthanasia rate would stop the exportation of adoptable animals at any point for any reason. It seemed incredulous to me that they would want to stop it for a day, let alone 2 weeks.
Columbia Humane Society, can you at this point take more animals from Hawaii and get them adopted out to good homes?
Absolutely. At this point in August, we've received probably 60, maybe more, animals from either Los Angeles or the Big Island. We constantly run out. We were just on the phone today with a couple of our colleagues' shelters asking if they had anything that we could borrow from. Last month was our biggest month in the organization's history. 120 animals got adopted. This month we're running right on average, which is about 85.
What else should we know before we say aloha? Dean Cox of Columbia Humane Society.
20 years ago, Oregon looked very much like the Big Island does today. 6 out of 10 dogs walked into these shelters and never came back out. 20 years later, we've got a metropolitan area of 2 million people for the first time in the history of the United States that has a live release rate of 85%. You can get there. It wasn't easy. It wasn't always fun, but it's always worth doing. And there's plenty of models that any agency can look at. There's plenty of people who went through those 20 years who want to help. There's plenty of communities who look at other communities and just really, really want to help those communities and the animals that are in there. The great benefit that HIHS has is that they're on an island. The big detraction is that they think like they're on an island. There's a whole world out there. There's a whole experience out there. Look at it and learn from it and get us on board, and we will help.
Thank you so much, Dean Cox of Columbia Humane Society. I very much appreciate your sharing your mana'o, your wisdom, with us here on Hawaii Island. Aloha.
Well, thank you very much.
And a reminder, this is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava, 105.3 FM, and online, lava1053.com, koacountry1077.com. For the last 2 weeks and this Sunday, we're focusing on animal welfare here on the island. I'm hoping that people come away with ideas about how we on this island can euthanize fewer animals, because I've sure had my eyes opened and talking with everybody. Next Sunday, we're going in a different direction. I will talk with United States Senator Brian Schatz. I'm actually doing the interview this coming Thursday. So if you have questions you'd like me to consider for Senator Schatz, email me at info@lava105.com. Now we're going to talk with David Lytle of the Oregon Humane Society in Portland. They do not now receive animals from Big Island Dog Rescue from Hawaii Island, but they do get animals from Maui and other places, and now we'll learn what they do. I am now talking with David Lytle, the Public Affairs Manager of the Oregon Humane Society in Portland. I spoke with David on the phone the same day I recorded my interview with Hawaii Island Humane Society, but I was at home and couldn't record him. But I was so impressed with the story of the Oregon Humane Society and the work they do, and I really felt like we on Hawaii Island could learn a thing or two, that I'm now grateful that David agreed to spend a little more time with me. Aloha, David. Thanks for taking time.
Aloha, my pleasure.
Okay, first, what is the Oregon Humane Society? Give us a thumbnail sketch of your organization.
Well, we're the oldest and largest humane society in the Pacific Northwest. We were founded back in 1863 as a small group, and now we've grown quite a bit to the point where we do more adoptions from our shelter here in Portland, Oregon, than any other single shelter on the West Coast. That's about a little over 11,400 adoptions last year alone in just that 1 year.
For the service area that you cover, do you have any sense as to what the rough population is? Do you cover just Portland, or it sounds like you cover more than just Portland?
Yeah, the rough population of the Portland metro area is about 1 million people and change. But, you know, we do get animals from all over Oregon, up and down the West Coast. We even get animals from Hawaii. But our shelter is located just here in Portland. We don't have other satellite shelters in other parts of the state.
Do you also, does your shelter also do animal control for the Portland area on behalf of the county or city?
Oh, we gave up our animal control contract back in the 70s. We didn't want to be doing that. So we are a limited admission facility. That is, we don't take dangerous animals or rabid animals or things like that. We're looking for animals that we can find new homes for that are without homes. But we do have police officers in our employ who are commissioned by the Oregon State Police, and they have full police authority to enforce animal cruelty laws. Basically, we're protecting pets from people.
When we spoke before, David, you told me that the situation in Oregon relative to animal adoptions was not a great situation. In fact, it was sort of akin to what goes on here in Hawaii Island. Could you tell me what it was like 20 years ago?
It's a fascinating story here. Back in the 80s, we were not a very good shelter. We were a large facility, but not doing a good job at adopting animals. And it got to be something of a scandal and an expose in a local paper about how we were killing puppies. And it was true. We had healthy puppies that they just got backed up, and instead of working doubly hard to find homes for, they were euthanizing them. And that got a huge uproar in the community. I think that was a catalyst for a major change.
What happened when the community got into an uproar? How was the change made?
I think the change started with our board of directors, who led the way. The trustees said, we're going to change the way we do business here. They got their boots on and their hands dirty and came down to the shelter firsthand and started getting very much involved. They changed a lot of personnel here. We got a new executive director and a new mission to find homes for as many pets as we possibly could. And a lot of things flowed from that, including a new building that we did a capital campaign for and was constructed in the year 2000. That really put us on the fast track and kind of changed the whole attitude of the community. They no longer came to this smelly, old, decrepit building that was not a very happy place. They came to a warm, welcoming, modern facility and were just surprised. All the world could see that this was now a fun place to come to and to bring joy into their lives.
Roughly how many animals do you take in every year? And then I'd like you to tell us, since you're the one who explained to me the Asilomar model, how many of these are adoptable, how many treatable, how many untreatable? So let's start with how many do you take in?
Oh my, we take in about 11,500 animals every year. And I say we are a limited admission facility, which means we don't take in sick, rabid, unhealthy dogs, but we do take in a lot of dogs that do need treatment one way or the other, dogs and cats. Some shelters, for example, might say if you bring a dog to them or a cat that's sick, they're not even going to accept that. On the other hand, a county shelter must by law take in every single animal that's presented to us. So we're kind of a hybrid of the two. We don't take every single one, but we do take quite a few. Over 11,500 last year. Our save rate, which is the number that's actually adopted out, is about 98%. So that means we euthanize only about 2% of the animals that come into the shelter.
Do you have an idea of how many of the 11,500 animals you get in and every year, how many of those are adoptable right off the bat that don't need any rehabilitation?
We classify about 53%, a little over half of all the animals that come in, as healthy animals that can be turned around and go right into a loving home. Of course, we're going to vaccinate them. We're going to spay and neuter them. We give them, you know, an exam to make sure they're good. So we invest quite a bit of resources even into those healthy pets. But about 53% fall into that healthy category. And then if we look at our other categories, which really tails quite the tail, ones that need treatment, about 42% are going to need treatment of some sort, and that might be antibiotics. It might just need an extended rest period to recover from a previous illness, or it might mean some serious medication, a diabetic cat. It might mean an animal which has a cancerous growth that we have to remove. So it really spans that whole range, that 42% that needs some kind of treatment. And then finally, we have another category called unhealthy, untreatable, and that's about 2% of the animals that come here. And those are ones that might be suitable candidates for a hospice care or just have a condition that doesn't make them a pet that's going to be instantly attractive to people. Nevertheless, we can work with those animals and often make them healthy enough or happy enough, maybe it's a behavior issue, that someone will bring them into their home.
When we talked before, you mentioned statistics. When's the last time you euthanized a healthy animal?
Well, it's been 6 or 7 years since the Oregon Humane Society has euthanized a healthy pet. We're very, very proud of that. In fact, it's been several years since we've even euthanized a treatable, what I call the treatable pet. That means a pet that might need antibiotics or a blood test or a treatment for a broken limb. We have a great medical facility here, so we provide treatment to that. We don't euthanize those animals at all. The only euthanized animals here are going to be ones that, say, have an unresolvable behavior issue and they're a threat to us, or they are so sick or so ill that that's the most humane thing to do for that pet.
I noticed you said, and it's on your website, that you do have police officers on your staff, and they investigate a lot of cases of animal neglect and abuse, which sounds like in many cases that would be the function of the county animal control contract. So do you do this in addition to the county?
Yeah, we have our own independent police authority here through the Oregon State Police. So we can go in Hart County into neighboring counties. Often we get calls for assistance from hundreds of miles away from far-flung corners of the state. So here in our tri-county area, which is the closest area to home, we still do quite a few cases, often because the local officers are overworked. They just do not have the resources to handle cases like that. So we cooperate with them and share the load.
It seems that one of the philosophies of most humane societies is that one of the solutions to pet overpopulation is spaying and neutering. Talk about your spaying and neutering programs and how you encourage the community to do that.
Yeah, you couldn't be more right there. You know, we realized a long time ago, faced with a big pet overpopulation in our area, both cats and dogs, that we were not going to adopt our way out of it. You know, you can do great adoption events, get all these pets out, but that pipeline is still being refreshed daily with fresh puppies and kittens. And so we did two things starting when we got our hospital here in 2007 and our own medical staff. We made it a policy that we were going to do in-house spay and neutering of every single pet in the shelter. That was a huge step forward. We were so thrilled when we got our hospital up and running, and now every pet is spayed or neutered in-house. Makes a huge difference, really brings down the population. And the second part of that was equally important, was reaching out to people who already have pets, who didn't get them from us, but aren't spaying and neutering their animals. The big problem in Portland was cats. People just did not take it seriously. They weren't spaying and neutering their cats. Often it was because of economics. So we teamed up with all the local shelters in our area, did a program called Spay and Save, which was basically free or low cost. By low cost, I mean $10. Spay and neuter for your cat. We've had great success with that. Our target was 10,000 cats a year to spay or neuter through that program. We've hit that every year for the last several years. And that has dramatically, dramatically reduced the number of cats coming into local shelters.
You mentioned that even today you get animals from other humane societies as well as from individuals. Tell us more about the transfer of animals from Maui, from California. How do they get to you? What do you do with them? Why do you take so many extra pets?
You know, we take in about 5,700 pets. That was last year from other shelters. And that's because if there's an empty kennel here in our shelter, we're going to reach out to other partners because we know we can save those lives. We've got a great facility here, a great medical staff, a great adoption staff. And our efforts have been so successful at spay and neutering that actually we see the pets coming in from our local community declining. They're bringing fewer pets into our shelter. And that means we're going to reach out, even if it's just across the river to Washington State or maybe across the Pacific Ocean, with the relationship we have with Maui, to have pets come from there to Oregon Humane Society. It's been a very successful program because it really relieves the pressure on these other shelters that are overwhelmed with too many pets and too few adopters. They're just trying to keep their heads above water. So when we can take hundreds of pets from them every year, it gives them more time to focus on their spay and neuter programs, on their medical care program, and try to really make a change in their local community. So it's a win for them. It's a win for us because these pets get adopted out very fast. We also take a lot of treatable sick pets, as I talked about earlier, who might need some medical care. Fortunately, we've got a hospital that can do that for them. It wins for everybody, including the pets, who are, of course, the most important ones here.
How do the animals from Hawaii get to you?
It's a great relationship with Alaskan Airlines and the local Maui shelter there. They encourage visitors to the island vacationing to bring a pet back. And Alaskan Airlines makes it financially feasible to do it because I believe they waive the fee on it. And you can take that pet back under your seat and bring it back to OHS. And we often send someone from our staff down to the airport to actually meet the tourist or the local resident, in this case, who's coming back with a dog for us, and we take it off their hands right there. It's been a very good program.
You sound very open to taking a lot of additional animals. That's really great.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we want to keep up the adoption pace here. And, of course, our primary service area is Oregon, but often there are lulls, and other shelters from around the state, from California, from Hawaii, can fill in those gaps, and it's great for everyone.
How many shelters do you consider to be part of your adoption network?
We've got, last year we had 73 agencies we partnered with. And it's about the same this year.
Now, one of the concerns expressed by Hawaii Island Humane Society about shelters in general, with which they were not familiar, is that some shelters may be just giving animals to, as they said, animal research facilities or others who have not great purposes. So how do you screen the people who come in to adopt the animals?
Yes, I've heard that issue raised many, many times. I think a long time ago that was a very big concern. I just don't think it's that much of a concern right now, at least not for us in Oregon. We do an adoption questionnaire that's required of every person that adopts here. They have to fill out the complete paperwork. We have to get their ID and their address, verify all that, see their driver's license. We keep a list here internally of if there's any shady characters, and we can check that against our own blacklist. But rarely have I heard of that happening here at OHS. And perhaps one reason is, boy, if someone really wants to get animals for that kind of a terrible purpose, they could go on Craigslist or whatever and get those animals for free. If they're coming to a shelter, they know they're going to have to show their ID. We're going to have a record of them. They're going to pay a fee for that animal in most cases. Even if it's a small fee, you know, it might be an older cat that's $30, they're still going to have to pay that fee. So we have not experienced that problem, and I wouldn't think it's a big problem elsewhere in the country either.
Curious, what is the average fee to adopt an animal?
That's going to vary. If it's an adult animal, it's probably around $50 to $100. If it's a puppy or kitten, it's going to be like $100 to $150 for a kitten, $300 for a puppy. And some people will be shocked. Oh, why are you charging so much for puppies? And our answer is pretty simple. One, most puppies and kittens will be adopted in about 24 hours. As soon as they get available, there's almost multiple holds, people lined up to take that puppy or kitten home. And so that helps us subsidize those older dogs. We might have an 8-year-old black lab who's been here for a month, and that black lab will be adopted out for $50. But obviously we've invested hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars in that black lab. Maybe he needed his teeth removed because they were abscessed, and maybe he needed some medical treatment, and just caring for an animal for a month or two, the bills go up pretty fast. So those puppies and kittens can help subsidize and pave the way for the older pets who need a little more TLC.
David Lytle, what is the annual budget of the Oregon Humane Society?
You know, we spend here in excess of $10 million a year to help pets. Last year, the actual expenses were $11.6 million. And the bulk of that is for animal care and adoptions, followed closely by medical services.
How do you raise those funds?
We have a lot of programs going out there for people to help us. It's everything from donating your car to us to participating in a big animal charity walk that helps the pets, wills and bequests. So there's a couple of dozen different ways we reach out to the public to try to get them to help us. And we're also very active in just talking to the community and to the local media. We want people to know we're here. We have many events going on all the time, just looking for different ways to engage people, to let them know about the services, and to share the reality that this is a good place to come to. It's a place where people come to be happy and to find pets to make them happy. We have a full menu of events that reach out to the public. That's going to everything from sporting events to neighborhood fairs to exhibitions and trade shows. It's a small team supplemented by lots of volunteers. We try to run as lean as we can here, and we have about 1,500 volunteers at OHS, so they pitch in at all these events, and they get the message out there, and I think that's why we have a good reputation.
How do people learn more about Oregon Humane Society?
Go to our website at oregonhumane.org. You'll see videos there and photos of every pet that we have available for adoption. And there's all the other services we have, from summer camps for kids to reporting animal cruelty to taking a class for your pet. Or if you have a pet behavior issue, you can call a free helpline. that we run, and one of our behavior experts will call you back and talk about ways to resolve that issue, hopefully so you don't have to bring your pet to the shelter.
This is great. Thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to add before we say aloha?
No, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I wish everyone in the islands the best of success with their efforts.
Hey, thank you so much, David. I really appreciate this. Aloha.
Aloha. Take care.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. This is part three of a three-part series. Parts one and two are online, koacountry1077.com, lava1053.com. Now that I know the facts, I would like it if the decision makers in Hawaii Island Humane Society, who probably have not been aware of all these facts, would take a look at the situation and really start simply. Make a resolution to stop euthanizing adoptable dogs, resolve to work with Big Island Dog Rescue, make it easy for them to take those adoptable dogs out of the shelter, get them ready for shipping, get them off to Oregon. As long as Oregon is wanting more adoptable dogs from us, let's do that rather than killing them here on the island. And then Hawaii Island Humane Society can begin their focus on the treatable dogs. Because now that I understand how other humane societies work, I think that we on this island can do a better job in caring for our animals. That's just my opinion. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. See you next Sunday morning. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.